Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
It's not just the big tech social media platforms that foster hatred and encourage violence against conservatives and Trump supporters, or the Operation Mockingbird assets on CNN and MSNBC, like Joy Reid and her merry band of misfits who whip their viewers into a frenzy, that have probably incited numerous hate crimes against Trump supporters over the past 7 years. Hollywood also has a major hand in demonizing us through their endless propaganda disguised as entertainment with plot lines that would have caused a national outrage not too long ago in the past, but now are just accepted as the status quo in the New World Order. The CBS legal drama The Good Fight posted a trailer on their official Twitter account showing one of the main characters ranting about how there's free speech in America and called for openly attacking American citizens unprovoked, he said, who engage in speech that social justice warriors perceive as supposedly racist, which of course means pretty much everything these days. To the left, supporting the border wall is considered to be racist, celebrating the 4th of July, white people existing, and so all Trump supporters are Nazis, and they want all of us to be silenced, jailed, or dead. The Good Fight clip also referred to then-alt-right leader Richard Spencer getting sucker-punched while giving an interview in Washington, D.C., and insinuated that anyone wearing a MAGA hat in public should face the same fate. Amazon produced a show for their Prime streaming service titled Hunters, which is about a diverse group of vigilantes led by Al Pacino who go around assassinating people who they think are secret Nazis working in the United States to revive the Third Reich. In one of the trailers posted online, a supposed Nazi could be seen wearing a red baseball cap with some white writing on it, looking almost identical to a Make America Great Again hat, which, of course, was by design. The series probably incited several vigilantes to attack supposed Nazis, meaning ordinary Trump supporters, and since the left thinks that free speech is hate speech and hate speech is violence, they justify physically attacking conservatives unprovoked because Antifa idiots believe that they're fighting actual Nazis. The executive producer of Hunters is Jordan Peele, the black director behind Get Out, who has an axe to grind with white people, so it's not surprising that he would be involved with a series that fetishizes torturing and killing them. The left always accuse others of exactly what they themselves are guilty of. It's a form of psychological projection as well as a gaslighting technique. They're so detached from reality that they lack the ability for introspection, and they can't really see that they are the violent ones, while claiming that it's Donald Trump and his supporters. They are acting like fascists, accusing Trump of being one. They are the racists, spewing hatred of white people every day, while claiming white people are conspiring to uphold the systemic white supremacist system in the United States simply because we exist. Law & Order SVU aired an episode about a character based on an amalgamation of Ann Coulter and Millie Weaver, who used to work for InfoWars. And in the show, the character was sexually assaulted by a suspected Antifa member. But because of her political views, some of the police investigating the attack wrestled with sympathizing with her. And the episode was titled InfoWars, so there's no doubt what the producer's intent was for making the episode. At the end, the final twist was the attacker might not have been Antifa after all, but one of the woman's own supporters depicted as a vile white supremacist because he got upset with her after she had turned down his advances the night before when they met at a bar. The moral of the story was that Antifa are just peaceful protesters fighting against right-wing extremists. And while the victim was worried about them, thinking that they were responsible for her assault, it was one of her own supporters, the conservatives, who are the violent ones. The Law & Order SVU series usually depicts white men as the criminals, often rapists, and avoids storylines about illegal aliens being the perpetrators or Latino gangs involved in sex trafficking, even though the show is supposedly often inspired by actual events. And the producers are extra careful not to include very many black people as perpetrators out of concerns of supposedly perpetuating stereotypes about black men and crime. Actress Jessica Chastain once posted a link on Twitter to a Time magazine article denouncing Antifa, the left's terrorist foot soldiers, but then later posted a video tearfully apologizing after a barrage of social justice warriors and Marxists saying that she was helping Nazis by denouncing the increasing violence being waged against Trump supporters. She literally cried and apologized for denouncing violence against Trump supporters. While everyone is familiar with Trump derangement syndrome, the irrational hatred and fear of Donald Trump, during his presidency, for the first time in modern history, the chorus of Hollywood celebrities crossed the line far beyond their usual criticism and hatred of a Republican president into openly calling for him to be assassinated. Madonna famously said that she wanted to blow up the White House. Self-proclaimed comedian Kathy Griffin did that infamous photo shoot where she held up a decapitated bloody head of Donald Trump, which looked like an ISIS beheading. She also wanted to beat down Donald Trump's then 11-year-old son, Barron. At one of their shows in Mexico, Guns N' Roses brought a Donald Trump piñata on stage and invited their fans to beat on it. At a Green Day concert in Oakland, California, singer Billy Joe Armstrong shouted, "Well, I probably shouldn't repeat it, otherwise YouTube will probably take this video down because their voice recognition system will flag it and they'll think that I was making those claims." But he openly called for Donald Trump to be assassinated. Rapper Snoop Dogg shot a figure dressed as President Trump in one of his music videos. Marilyn Manson beheaded him with a large knife in one of his. Rapper Big Sean did a freestyle about murdering Donald Trump with an ice pick on a popular hip-hop radio show, all with no consequences, with the exception of some blowback against Kathy Griffin, with CNN dropping her as Anderson Cooper's sidekick for their New Year's Eve coverage. Actor Adam Pally, who starred in a time-traveling comedy series called Making History, told TMZ that if time travel were possible, he would go back and assassinate Donald Trump. Johnny Depp went even further, saying that someone should do it right now. Remember that? It made headlines, but he faced no consequences whatsoever. He wasn't dropped by his management company. None of his movies were pulled from the streaming services. Nothing. When Kamala Harris was running for president in 2020 before dropping out because her campaign ran out of money and she knew she had no chances of actually winning, she joked with Ellen DeGeneres about killing Trump. Robert De Niro has said numerous times that he wanted to assault him. Jim Carrey said that he had a dream where he murdered him with a golf club. Mickey Rourke said that he wanted to attack him with a baseball bat. After the Iranian government put out an $80 million bounty on President Trump's head, comedian George Lopez responded on Instagram saying he would do it for half that. While hosting Saturday Night Live, comedian John Mulaney urged people to assassinate President Trump like Julius Caesar. The list goes on and on. The atmosphere the liberal media created in the Trump era, where publicly wishing for his death became commonplace, incited numerous unhinged lunatics to attempt to storm the White House, break into Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida. Yet, with the exception of Kathy Griffin getting dropped by CNN as co-host of their New Year's Eve coverage, none of the celebrities calling for his assassination have faced any consequences, not legally or professionally, none. But if a conservative makes a joke that hurts black people's feelings or any gender non-binary people or members of the LGBT whatever community, then they're targeted for cancellation immediately. Hollywood is not only filled with degenerate hypocrites who hate everything that is normal and good and spend their time trying to poison our culture and undermine the very foundation of our constitutional republic, but let's be honest here, at their very core, they simply really are servants of Satan. If you like my serious...
Alrighty, we are back. And, you know, Joe... just when Clinton was in office, I did a radio program with two FBI agents sitting right in the studio. And the reason they were in the studio, they came down because somebody had reported that I had said that I was going to kill President Slick Willie. Okay, Clinton. Yeah, Bill Clinton, right.
We call and, him Slick Willie so often, you forget his real name.
Yeah. Well, Hillary's man, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute, I better rephrase, because she had a number of them. Anyhow, and so here, now just, again, this was, and I told them, I said, all you have to do is listen to the replay of the tapes. And they said, we've already done that. We know you didn't do it. And I said, well, then, if you know I didn't do it.
For?
Yeah, and they said, well, tell you, we have to run the stories down, and tell you the truth, we like, in fact, he said at 3, because I came out from 3, in those days I was on from 3 to 5 and then again from 6 to 8 the same day. And so he said that when you come on, the whole shop turns the radios to you. We listen to you. And so that was quite a compliment. And I told him. And so, but here now, in those days, if you made a threat like that, you'd be arrested. Okay, but yeah, these people,
the president, you're right. That was a serious thing you did not do.
But it's a whole different double standard for Donald Trump, isn't it?
For Donald Trump, there is no rule, no regulation that cannot be broken. There is no obstacle that will be in the way of destroying Donald Trump.
They really fear him. They really fear him. Why do you think they fear him so much?
Because he's threatening the entire deep state. He's trying to bring truth back. He's trying to bring representative government, the people. As Trump said at his rallies, it's not just about me, it's a movement. This is a movement to what? Restore the people to their rightful place as the we're the ones who own the country, we the people. And that's what they fear because of all the corruption and the deep state. Like we said earlier in the program, it's all about money, corruption, and Trump wasn't bought off, couldn't be bought off, and they all fear because of loss of jobs, money, position. It would change the entire nation, and they fear that.
Well, so Trump was actually meant what he said, and he was for the people and not the fat cats. He was for the people. In other words, he wasn't involved in insider trading. He wasn't involved in making all of this money off the backs of the people, was he?
Pretty much.
Okay, so there you go, and that's the reason. Now, do you think Trump was a perfect president?
No, nobody's perfect except Christ, and he's coming to rule soon, but he's not here yet.
In your lifetime, how would you rate Trump as a president?
He's right up there with Ronald Reagan to me.
Yeah, you and me both. He is. He's right up there. And so Reagan...
He might be better, but he had one advantage. He saw what Reagan can do with faith and truth and optimism. He did have somebody to as a kind of a guide.
He often quoted Reagan, didn't he? Was his, and so, anyhow, now, he wasn't by no means perfect. Now, just recently, Dr. Robert Malone, the guy that invented the mRNA, the bioweapon, he has come out and said that he can't support Trump as long as Trump defends the weapon that he invented, the COVID shot.
The shot.
Right now. Right. Now, is that a? Do you think Trump should just come out and say, "Look, man, I made a big mistake. I didn't know," because it was the Justice Department, the Department of Defense, and the Pentagon that was behind this whole thing. They were the ones that were behind this. They convinced Trump it was a national security issue, and he trusted these people. He didn't know that they were a part of the deep state, did he?
No, he didn't know how deep and wide and bad. He knew there was a deep state, but he himself said he just did not understand how big it was.
Now, Trump knew something else, though, too. He knew that if it was experimental, so-called, according to our Constitution, the government could not force the people to take it.
That's right.
So he knew that. So now I can tell you this, the numbers they give out about the amount of people taking the vax are way, way overblown, okay? Believe me. Many of you folks out there listening to me tonight, just ask how many people do you know that refuse to take the vax? And by the way, what they're trying to do now, they're trying to get a list. You have these different health carriers that are going to people's homes, first thing they're asking them is, have you had the vax? Have you had that? Now, they want to identify those of us that have not taken it. This is happening now. This is the police state stuff. This is why we must get Trump back into office. We must get our country back. We must get a DOJ, an actual department, one that's legitimate, not what we have here. You know, there in San Francisco, they've got a real problem now, thanks to, and all California now, thanks to Newsom, with prostitutes. You got prostitutes everywhere now in the major cities, and most of them are, a lot of them are almost naked. The difference is the prostitutes there in the government, they wear three-piece suits, but they're just as big as whores as those on the street, aren't they?
They are. In fact, they're probably worse, because they're a lot of those women that are prostituting themselves are in deep need. The others are just greedy,
right? They're greedy whores.
Big, and that's exactly between greed and evil and need.
And is that what we have at the Department of Justice?
The Department of Greed, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about the FBI?
They're all part of the deep state, the intelligence community, the FBI, the IRS, the Department of Justice. They are the center and power structure of the deep state.
Okay, let me ask you this, though, about Trump. Did you hear, now I heard Trump tell people that they should try hydroxychloroquine, and I heard Trump tell people they should get ivermectin. Did you hear Fauci say anything like that?
Yeah, I heard Fauci telling, don't do any of that. You know, the only solution is the vax, the government way.
They were trying to keep, in fact, Fauci was telling the CDC, don't allow them, shut it down. Don't even allow, even the post office was told not to mail ivermectin.
Mail it. Prescribe it. They were doing everything they could to stop it from happening, because those medications were relatively cheap, they were effective, and everybody, there was enough supply, and it would have destroyed the profit that Big Pharma was going to make off this mandatory vax.
I just heard here a commercial on television. It was the mayor of Cleveland telling people to keep the city safe, get the vax. They're still promoting
still pushing it, yeah.
And so even though all across the country, radio programs like this, and even, you know, Tucker Carlson has been talking about it now.
All across the world. Pastor.
Yeah.
Across the world, they're warning people. Their governments are outlawing the vax. They're telling people, don't take it. I mean, it's not just here.
I've got an article right here. The doctors are in big trouble. This comes from the true state of the nation. Each and every doctor who administered the extremely dangerous and deadly COVID vaccines needs to be sued out of their medical practices before they are criminally prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law for conspiring to commit genocide against the American people. Submitted by COVID Vaccine Inquirer Injury Consultant. Now, key point. Operation Warp Speed was purposefully run by the Pentagon after being planned as a Department of Defense fake emergency response to the COVID-19 bioweapon, which was actually created by an ultra-secret joint U.S.-UK-Israeli project, not too unlike the Manhattan Project, or DARPA, was with the U.S. Army. Physicians everywhere were then conscripted to the front lines of the fabricated bio-war after the stealthy bioengineered SARS-CoV-2, it is not a coronavirus, was first launched by the U.S. Armed Forces at the 2019 Military World Games in Wuhan, China, from the 18th through the 27th of October. There should be no question about the dire necessity of the harsh penalty stated above for doctors who killed and injured their innocent patients. for all physicians across the USA who choose to obey their big pharma and big government masters before they serve the needs of their trusting patients are guilty of nothing short of mass murder. Truly, the entire American healthcare system is culpable of perpetrating the most complex and convoluted criminal conspiracy ever to both murder and maim in the U.S. citizenry. Physicians in every major medical center, community hospital, urgent care facility, and walk-in clinic, doctor's office, and participating pharmacy carried out this massacre by weaponized COVID injections with seeming impunity. Not only was this crime spree executed with extraordinary premeditation, speed, and efficiency, it has been remarkably covered by many institutional co-conspirators throughout the mainstream media, big social media, big tech. In point in fact, the cover-up of this ongoing genocide has been so effective that the family doctor is not even yet suspect of being the primary hitman for the all-powerful medical mafia. Hey, Joe, remember who Hitler used to try to make a pure race? It was the doctors he used.
Yeah, that's right. I hadn't thought about that for a minute. I do take a little... I think there were a lot of doctors who don't really, you know, the sports medicine and, you know, doctors in different fields really didn't understand, you know, anything about viruses and vaccinations. And I think they were trained and taught to follow what the... you know, CDC and the Institute of Health and all that, you know, those were supposed to be people who knew and understood. I think there are a lot of people that were lied to and fooled. I don't believe they're guilty of anything, but the way they were trained and educated. And I think the people that need to be punished are those at the top in the media that supported the lies, that knew what was going on. I think it's one of those you got to get to the... cut the head off the snake.
Okay, now, don't you think... Now, listen, Joe.
Knowing where it's going.
Joe, right now, do you think, with all of the people that are refusing the COVID shots, okay, all of the people that are refusing the COVID shots, and some of these, we were informed by the fellow that his wife went underwent some surgery, and just prior to the surgery, they informed her, when they were all ready to operate, that, by the way, we can't continue without giving you the shot. You've got to take the shot. And this was a very necessary surgery. And
right.
He was
know by now. Yeah. But
right.
Just the other night, we did stories of doctors all over now saying, no more vax. We're not taking it. We're not giving it. So... a lot of people woke up. There are a lot of those that were fooled, woke up, and have come out and said, hey, I was fooled. Anybody that's still continuing at this point is guilty.
So they should be prosecuted for genocide.
Yeah, we've got Dr. Shortage, and this isn't going to make it any better.
All righty. Pfizer responds after director says company is developing ways to mutate the COVID-19. Now here, Pfizer, late January 28th, responded to comments from director at the company about exploring ways to mutate COVID-19 as a method to preemptively develop new vaccines. So they have come out, and they're dancing all around this. The problem is they got one of their employees... one of their top employees, by the way, they got him talking about why not.
He's missing now. Nobody knows where he is.
Yeah. And so here, Pfizer did say it has conducted research where the original SARS-CoV-2 virus has been used to express the spike protein from new variants of concern. In other words, they're... you know, they're dancing around it, and that's kind of a cheap way of kind of admitting to it, isn't it?
Well, yeah, remember, we've told way back the Fabian socialist words were going to be the weapon of this new warfare by changing, shifting words and their meanings. They started out, we don't do gain of function. Well, then there was directed evolution. Well, then it was, we didn't do that. We don't do directed evolution on monkeys. Then they said, but in a limited number of cases, we've altered the virus and tested new mutations against its COVID antiviral drug. Well, gee, what is altering the virus? Isn't that kind of like directed evolution? And directed evolution is pretty much like gain of function, make the virus different than it comes naturally. And so, yeah, they use the words, they keep shifting the words, changing the words, and thinking that changes the meaning. And the more you confuse people, the more words you throw in there, the easier it is to confuse and harder for the public to follow. And you forget what the original word was. By the time you get four different words down, you forget it was gain of function originally. So that's the game that's being played. It's called lying, deceiving by changing words and meanings.
All right. From the revealing the, from the State of the Nation, the alternative news here, it says if you die from taking the COVID vaccine, your insurance company may not pay your family. Experimental medicines and procedures void most life insurance policies. Now that is true. They do. In other words, if you go and say I died from the vax, if you say that, obviously you wouldn't be saying that. But if let's just say you lost a loved one and they found out he died from the vax. Right. Now they don't tell you that they died. When they go to the insurance companies, they don't say we died from the vax. We died from the COVID, right?
COVID, right.
Okay, so because the Department of Defense says no, you are going to pay because they died from the COVID. So if they go in and they, now what about these insurance companies? Because they're saying that the death, that some of them are going broke. They're going broke. They can't continue to do this. They have to raise their weights way higher. Because right. So many people are dying. And again, remember, I normally do 2 to 3 funerals a year. That's an average. And last year, Joe, I did 9. That's a lot, Joe.
Yeah, that's about 4 times as many as you normally do.
Yeah. And so,
and then how many other people were in the hospital that were seriously ill that are having side effects and problems? There's probably, 10 times that number that that are having problems because of the vax.
When we know of a number.
Breathing problems, you name it. What?
Right. We know of a number of people that have died. We had a death row inmate who, I told him, do not take the vax, do not take the vax. Now, here's the ironic thing. We told him, do not take the vax. He took the vax on a Tuesday. He died Thursday. Check this out. We had a guy that was attending our church. He would only come about, maybe 3 or 4 times a year because he lived a little distance away. And he came into the church, him and his wife, and we showed him the film about the vax. But a doctor talked him into taking it. He took the vax. Now, listen to this. He took the vax on a Tuesday, and he died on a Thursday. And you talk about coincidental, huh?
So, you and I aren't big on coincidences, are we?
No. No, but anyhow, so there you go. And they died. I know the inmate died of blood clots. And so that must have been a Johnson & Johnson one. All righty. Do you want to open up the phone lines, take some calls? Let's do that.
Yeah,
let's open up the phone line.
I'd like to get that Kerry Lake story in, but we're going to be taking a break, so we might have to do it after the break.
All right, we'll be back right after this. It's time. I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners. I am blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold, I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. Family again, gonna be with long lost friends. Maybe soon, I don't know when. I'm blessed by you. Gaining treasures, preaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold, I know that I will see my mansion on high through glorified eyes. How happy I'll be. Back, and God bless Carrie Lake. I mean, that woman, I love that woman. She is just, she's a lady after our heart. She's got spunk. Go ahead.
Right. She's a fighter.
Yep.
Well, the story is basically she contested the election there in Arizona.
Yeah.
And, Hobbs was losing every poll, didn't debate. The Republicans were, 5-6 over every Democrat in the, that county. So anyway, when she contested, the judge said no. So she went up and she posted a Twitter account. And the Secretary of State there is demanding the Attorney General, Chris Mayers, go after, because she shared a graphic containing images of voter signatures and ballots she identified as having been illegally counted. Yeah, there were 16 images were shared of early ballot affidavits compared with the signatures from voter registration records. And guess what? They were definitely, a novice could look and say they didn't match, you know. And Lake had charged that there were, this is part of the proof of 40,000 ballots that didn't match voter signatures on record. So they were illegally counted. And you remember Hobbs' victory was about 17,000 votes. So what we see is the state going after Kerry for telling the truth, and they're saying, well, there's a state law that, you know, she's not supposed to let out any information about the election, you know. But at the same time, these people, the judge didn't want to see it in court and dismissed the case, so she's putting it on the web. And she claims that this all that they've done impacted her, the illegal voting count impacted her chance of victory. And it's getting, she is right into the fight. She's wading right in. She's not backing down. Her team discovered there were almost 300,000 ballots delivered to a third-party signature verification service called Runbeck Election Service on Election Day, and there was no chain of custody. She provided this evidence to the judge, and the judge still turned down her case. Well, one of the Runbeck employees stated that there were at least, 9,500 duplicate ballots printed, issued, no chain of custody. 2 days after the election, another 25,000 ballots were found that lacked chain of custody. That comes to something like 333,000 plus ballots with no chain of custody. So if we look at even the 9,500 that the employee claims were issued and the 25,000 they found after the election, that means Kerry Lake is still losing by 17,000, won by 17,530. And they are having to go after her because she is showing how crooked these elections are. And she said it's going all the way to the Supreme Court, and she's determined that the proof will get out there. People will see, and that's why she put it up on Twitter showing the example of those signatures that did not match that anyone could tell were fake.
All righty. Well, we got to do all we can to support her, all we can.
Yeah.
Let's go to Michigan. Ryan, you're in the air.
Hi. Yesterday you mentioned this group, and you asked for prayer for them, and I don't remember their name, but there's something like Project Veritas, I think. But
yes,
they put out one of the groups.
Yeah, but Project Veritas was very, very... Oh, no. You were talking about, let's see, what is it, GP? The... Yeah, the people that exposed the Biden thing that dropped
yeah.
it. I'm trying to think. I'll just give me a minute. And Joe, you know who we were talking about? Let me see. They asked us.
The three emails that were coming out and about Biden.
Yeah, it's the org. The it's the three. Three words, and I know, I'm right at the tip of my tongue, and I'm trying to remember, but anyhow.
I was telling my nephew about it, I couldn't remember, I wanted him to know about it, but I couldn't remember their name.
Maybe I can find it here in a minute. Let's see, no, that's not it. It was the group that, Joe, the group that was, that exposed the that have been bringing this stuff out on the Biden, and we quoted, we played the clip of them. You know who I'm talking about.
I'm having, like you, just drawing a blank. I'm trying to, we've prayed for so many people, all of a sudden my brain just going over. We did pray for Project Veritas and some of the other groups, and,
no.
Oh, boy.
They were worried about, you know, getting killed or something.
Yeah, because they're bringing that stuff out. Look, Hunter Biden, you have to understand something here. Hunter Biden, when he was a crackhead, he offered to sell classified materials to Alcoa, the aluminum company, Alcoa Aluminum, on the Russian oligarchs. He offered to, for $55,000. He offered to pay to sell these. He managed to get a hold of stolen top secret documents. This is these people are exposing all of that. The people we're talking about. It's an interesting thing because the FBI searched the Penn Biden Center in mid-November, last November. But you didn't hear anything about this. All you heard about it was going after President Trump.
Right.
And here they found many, 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 many times more documents, but they never said a thing. It shows you that they're the FBI and the Department of Justice, they're whores. They really are. It's really unbelievable.
My nephew was showing me today. There's this video that came out from Project Veritas about this Pfizer employee that was bragging about how they did these mutant things. And
yeah, that's what we were talking about there. Oh. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't miss that.
Yeah, they were mutating the virus. Yeah, we were just talking about that a little while ago.
Oh, and
yeah, the problem with the audio is not good. It's not good enough for radio, the quality on radio, because there's so much background noise. And when this guy found out, pardon?
The guy that they were filming, the black guy, the employee.
Yeah.
He was just trying to switch it all, and like he's playing the victim. And I think it was on your show I heard that they can't stand for the media to be on they can't be on the defensive. They always have to. The only story has to be about the right, you know, and what's wrong with the right. They can't stand for the, you know, for them to be on the defensive.
Yeah, but let me just take you this here. Now, Hunter Biden was a crackhead, and he had access. In fact, they were keeping in the house that he was spending, and he was what was it, $55,000 a month? I think it's the same number. He was paying rent. It was money laundering for the house that Joe Obama was renting him. But you know that was a money washing institution. Now, look, laundering. Here, think about this. You got a crackhead. And he's living in a house. What would a crackhead do to get enough money to buy more drugs? Anything.
Anything is the answer.
And here he had access with all of these prostitutes and all these prostitutes in there with him. He had access to top secret files, documents. The Biden had been taken home since he was a senator. He had been sneaking them out since he was a senator.
It's unbelievable what's going on.
Well, it's unbelievable how corrupt the DOJ is, the Department of Justice, and they're refusing to cooperate. Garland is refusing to cooperate with the Congress. Garland knows if Joe Obama goes down, he's going down with him because Garland has been breaking the law right along. And so him and Chris Ray, the whole bunch, are going to be going down. If there's any justice, if that's why they fear Trump so much, because Trump now, they know he'll do it. They know he'll clean up the swamp, the rat's nest, won't he?
Right. So can I text your brain about something else? You had a guest on last week. His last name was Graves. I don't know his first name.
Frederick. Dr. Frederick Graves.
Frederick, okay. Well, maybe on the other thing, if you can mention it, I'd like to know what that group is. I'd like to follow them, the one you're looking for.
Yeah, I know. I can't. I'm just having one of my senior moments right now.
You know, the other day you asked for feedback on that story about the police, about what people thought about it. And I thought maybe it was just kind of like a stage thing. Just the fact that you saw the thing and you thought it was staged, it probably was. I thought it was like a distraction story.
Yeah. there was something going on there. You're absolutely right. It, to me, it looked like the whole thing was staged.
Just the fact that you thought that, it probably was.
Yeah. What do you think, Joe? He's talking about their
thing being staged. I wasn't quite sure.
The killing of Nichols, that Brian Nichols, there, Nichols, yeah. The way that they did that.
It looked to me like a gang fight and vengeance and just people out of control, just angry and trying to hurt. To me, it.
No. When you had five cops.
It just looked like a gang thing.
When you had five cops. And what they did, it was like it was staged. Like they would take turns when we come over, and it was like they, the way they looked at each other, like they, like this thing was planned.
Like, and then, or like a game, or it could have been a game, because when that one cop came up and with the horrible kick to the head, that's the kind of thing you learn can be a death blow.
Well, so there were three. There was three other cops that stood there and watched it and didn't interfere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now there's others, and so here is this whole thing. And believe it or not, on CNN and the lamestream media is saying that this is racist. It's racist because white people invented the law, and so these idiots are actually saying that now.
Yeah, well, so, we did the story. Mathematics is racist. The same math that rocket scientists use is to get, a rocket to the moon is racist. No, it's what it is. It's a hard science, and, it's the same kind of thing. They use that term. They throw it around. No matter anything they don't like, it's racist. It's racist. It's bad. It's just one of the techniques. They keep telling the lie, and they keep yelling, screaming, and pretty soon a lot of people start to believe it because everybody's saying it. It's everywhere. They yell it so loud and clear. They couldn't possibly be lying with that many people that loudly saying it.
Like Forrest Gump says, stupid is as stupid does.
Stupid does. Yeah.
Yes. You know, it's still that same philosophy. There's divide and conquer, using racism, communist divide and conquer.
Yeah.
Yep, they use classism. Remember, there used to be the war, male against female. At first it was classes, then it was sexist, now it's racism. The communists always divide and conquer. They got to find something to divide the people on.
You know, right. I thought about this yesterday, but all this white supremacist, you know how they call people what they are? Who's really the white supremacist? It's them.
Joe Biden was involved. He had friends in that, in the Ku Klux Klan. When he was a senator, believe me, Joe sold his very soul to the party. He changed his position 100%. And
this meeting they just had in the Illuminati, is there one black person there? I mean, there probably are, but there's hardly any, probably. They're very prejudiced, communist people.
Yeah, Council of Rome, you're right. There's not too many of those. I don't think there have black members, but
all right.
I don't
we
know.
Are out of time for tonight, so I want to thank you. Thanks for calling. And we got to get into the most important part of the program. What is the most important part of the program, Joe?
An invitation to become a born-again believer in the Lord.
Absolutely.
Become a real Christian by possession.
We were talking about the reality. You were talking about mathematically, you've heard of Theomatics? Do you remember that basketball player, Jerry Lucas?
He was a long time ago.
Well, he wrote a book when he retired called Theomatics, where he took the Bible down and he changed it, the words, because it's in Hebrew and that's all mathematical. There are numbers and he went as he did this, they took it to the Stanford math department, and they gave the mathematical odds of all of the prophecies that were given, hundreds and thousands of years in advance to coming true, exactly when, exactly where, exactly how. And the number came up was the mathematical odds against that would be a one with 132 zeros behind it. Now, that's something, huh? Okay, so.
Well, I don't want to have to pronounce that number.
Right. Anyhow, so bottom line is this, folks, what we were telling you. Again, is what we always give the invitation because, again, many people out there, and every night we have new people will be listening to this radio program for the first time. Many might be driving in their car right now. I remember one time I gave an invitation, and a woman who was listening to me was on her way to commit suicide. She was pregnant with twins, and she was actually right in Cleveland. She was going to drive off up here right into Lake Erie. And she listened to me, and she said the sinner's prayer. And she called live on the air. And she later gave birth to twins, but she was born again. So, folks, here, let me tell you.
In the name of the Lord, huh?
Yeah. It works this way. It's not complicated. Men have a lot of problems. We have a lot of problems. We don't have many answers. God has all the answers, and God doesn't have any problems. And that's why he tells you to come to him. And here, God is a holy God. He's a just God and a holy God. Therefore, a holy God cannot tolerate sin. And so, sin has to be dealt with. And so, who says that? Well, God says that. And that's all you need. If God says it, just don't argue with it. Believe it, because God has never lost an argument. And so, he saw that sinful men were bound to God's wrath. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He demanded a completely holy, sinless, a complete sinless sacrifice. And the only one that fit that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was the only one that could do it.
The Lamb of God.
Right, the Lamb of God. Had he decided not to do that, boy, we'd all be in a world of hurt. But the Lord Jesus, being the only one that could fit the bill, the only one that would be worthy, God placed our sin upon him. He became sin for us. He took our place, a substitutionary death upon that cross. And the Bible said he suffered like no man had ever suffered. And again, but folks, you know the physical pain, but just think about having the sins of the world, past, present, and future, placed upon you. That's far, far, far beyond our comprehension. But he did it.
His emotional pain is the worst pain in the world.
And so with that, here's what you have to do. Jesus said, pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of your sin. You need to do that. If you haven't ever done it, do it tonight. And then ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life. If you'll do that, they will honor that. You will become a born-again Christian, an heir of a kingdom, and you will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit of promise. You've got God's word on it. We're out of time for tonight. So until tomorrow, we want to say good night. God bless.
God bless.
And always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left. Hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.